Hello, this is Paula Matthews for Epic Books and Cafe. The Heavenly Father is seeking those who will stand in the gap between heaven and the people on earth. This week, we will discuss what it means to intercede for the kingdom of God. We have highlights for you from our most recent Apostolic Prayer Force meeting, where God gave us his definition of what it means to be an intercessor. It includes the prayer of faith, but it also means performing acts of faith for the kingdom as well.
You said the intercessors have an initial job, as you heard here, breaking down, rooting out, throwing down, pulling down, and destroying. He says the entrepreneurs in this last days are going to be the ones responsible for building and planting the things of the kingdom. And he says, in doing so, what we're going to see is an operation of what he calls kings and priests. The kings will be rebuilding and taking dominion on one level, in the open, in the marketplace, in the seven mountains of the earth. And the priests will be praying. Now, it's possible that you could do both. And we'll go, I'll talk a little bit about that, because that's what we saw in the book of Nehemiah.
Now, let's get into this week's message.
We're going to be talking about taking the city. And I have to tell you how this message came about. November 21st, I had part of the Dr. Bill Winston's Faith Ministry Alliance, it's an alliance of pastors and leaders. And we meet with him every couple of weeks and twice a month. And he was speaking, and this was on November 21st, and he was talking about words, kingdom concepts, talking about words. And he was talking about how we need to get to the point of operating at the highest level of living, which is using our words. So he's said, you know, talking about how words are the all-controlling factor. Our words carry our future. So he gives all of these examples. He's going on and on and on. And then toward the end of this whole section, he says something that just sparks me and just turns a light on me. He says, you can use words to take back a city. Okay, and as he's saying that, and he quotes Jeremiah 1:12, where it says, where the Lord says to Jeremiah, I will hasten my work to perform it. And so as he's speaking this, it hits me. How many times have I heard God tell me in the past, take the city, take the city, take the city. And so it became a rhema word for me on another level. It was rhema when I first heard it back in 2003. So I got after that meeting, I got online and started researching everything I'd ever written in my notes, in my journals, about what the Lord said about take the city. And I saw 12 clear instances from the time of 2003 and all the way up to 2006. That's when it was really heavy. He was saying it quite often at that time frame. And it was when I was in LA and I would be out and I'd be praying, and he said, take the city, take the city, take the city. Well, I'll be praying and walking and praying. Sometimes I was walking to work, he'll say, you know, every place where the foot, your sort of your foot stands, I've given to you, take the city. And then I would repeat, Lord, I take the city for the kingdom. He said it repeatedly. And then one day I heard him say, take the city, take the state, take the nation, take the world. And he was talking about possessing the land for his kingdom. And so I would just automatically just speak those words while I was praying. And so what he reminded me is that's what we're supposed to be doing as part of kingdom citizens. We're supposed to be taking back the earth for the kingdom. That's why Jesus came. So when I got that message and went back and found my journals, the things that I've written, and I put them on a little list, as you saw right there, I was reading off of. The next morning, this was a Saturday morning, at 5 a.m., I hear the Lord clear as a veil. And this is when he says, take the city, Apostolic Prayer Force. That was a command. He said this at 5 a.m. on Saturday, November 22nd. And then he said, ask of me and I will give you the heathen for thy inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Now that's Psalm 2:8. He's talking about inheritance here. But we have to take the city to receive that inheritance, is what he's saying. Then he said something very curious to me that I had never heard this way. He said the first thing he's doing in taking back the cities, he said he's making millionaires of the intercessors first. That's the very first thing he's doing. So the people who are praying, like we're praying, the people who are standing in the gap for the cities and nations, those are the ones he's going to give the wealth to initially. Then he says the entrepreneurs. Now, this is how he explained it. He said, with intercession, prayer comes before the work to root out, throw down, pull down, and destroy. Now, those words coincide with Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 10. This is the scripture. He says, defines who we are and what we should be doing as the body of Christ in these last days. It's Jeremiah 1:10. It says, see, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, and to throw down, to build and to plant. Now, when he's talking to me, and he said the intercessors have the initial job, as you heard here, breaking down, rooting out, throwing down, pulling down, and destroying. He says the entrepreneurs in this last days are going to be the ones responsible for building and planting the things of the kingdom. And he says, in doing so, what we're going to see is an operation of what he calls kings and priests. The kings will be rebuilding and taking dominion on one level in the open, in the marketplace, in the seven mountains of the earth. And the priests will be praying. Now, it's possible they could do both. And we'll go, I'll talk a little bit about that, because that's what we saw in the book of Nehemiah. And that's where he took me, to Nehemiah. Well, you may remember how Nehemiah got a commission to go and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Jerusalem had been destroyed by the Babylonians when they took people into captivity. And he got permission to go. And when they went, their whole point was to repair the breach, repair the walls of the uninhabited cities, because they were tore up. But the enemies were stirred up. You can find this story in Nehemiah, actually all throughout Nehemiah, because there's a battle that went on for a few chapters. But chapter 4 talks about how the enemies of God's people were stirred up, because they're like, here is this group of peasants or slaves, and all of a sudden they're building a kingdom. We don't want that, because they could rise up against us. They're obviously doing something deceptive. So you had your Sanballats and their Tobias is starting up controversy, lies and deceptions, a lot of things to keep the work from going forth. But Nehemiah, not only that it was God's will, but he also had the will of the king to go and do the work. Now, it's interesting, because if you've seen my Sunday messages, the Lord had me do a message previous week, but the week before, called the role of Cyrus in the church, because a lot of people think, you know, presidents are the president is Cyrus. And it's like, Cyrus in the book, even Nehemiah, gave permission for the work to be done, but the people had to do the work. So no matter who's in charge of over a nation, God holds us responsible as people to rebuild the kingdom, and he will do the work. So what's happened is, it was controversy. And the controversy went on, not only from Cyrus's time all the way up to Darius, where people didn't want to rebuild, because they were like, we don't want God. We don't want God's people to raise up. And that's the same kind of opposition he's telling us to prepare for, because we have been, as a nation in America and in the world, but particularly in America, we've been in rebellion against God. Even the Christians, we say we're Christian, but we don't go by the book. We have our own religion. We have our own way of doing things. And God is purifying his people. He's beautifying the church. And what he means by that, he's taking out that which is not of him and putting in the pure word, what Jesus came to give us, what the first apostles did, because he needs to wrap this thing up so Jesus can come back. And right now, we got many different flavors, but none of them look like Jesus Christ. They look like man. So that's got to be cleaned up. So you have opposition arising, because now the system's changing. It's not business as usual anymore. You're not going to have these people in the corner anymore. God is calling them out to rebuild. And so in Nehemiah's day, they had to fight. And so the Bible says in Nehemiah 4:17 that the people worked with one hand and had a weapon in the other. There were families. There were families who were working while other families were praying. So the fact that they had to have intercession going forth at all times just to get the work done. So prayer is not an option. Apostolic prayer is, in these last days, it's a command. You can't live without it. You won't be able to survive the attacks of the enemy unless you're hearing God, speaking what God speaks, religion is out the way people do these little mamby-pamby prayers won't work anymore because the devil is out for blood. And these last days, because you understand, Jesus is coming back soon. There's work to be done, but the enemy doesn't want to let up. He knows his time is short, but he's like, I'm going to do as much damage as I can because I'm not letting them take a free ride. So when he's talking about the intercessions, the people who are fighting the battle are the intercessors first and foremost. People that are praying, that are up late night, that are on call for God when the city is in trouble, when the nation is in trouble. Those are the kind of people he wants in this apostolic prayer for us, people who are available. And those are the ones who are getting the wealth.
Beloved, I hope this has given you a better understanding as to why it is necessary for us to be serious about prayer in these last days before Jesus comes. In Luke 8:18, Jesus asked, "When the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith in the earth?" In other words, there'll be so much evil going on around us that even the faithful ones will be tempted to lose heart and faint. Yet, Jesus is coming back for a glorious church, a people full of faith and victorious over every plot of the devil, in Jesus' mighty name. If you have enjoyed this episode, please join us for In Pursuit of Divine Destiny with Paula Matthews, live every Sunday morning at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Don't forget to like and subscribe both to this podcast channel and to our YouTube channel as well. Also, my latest book, Break Forth, Fulfilling God's Dominion Mandate, has just been released exclusively on Amazon's Kindle Unlimited subscription service. Feel free to not only read the book, but also provide a review if you choose. Thank you in advance. Finally, from all of us at Epic Ventures and Epic Books and Cafe, we wish each and every one of you a blessed Christmas and a prosperous new year. This has been Paula Matthews for Epic Books and Cafe. Until next time.